this is Mike Chilson, host of the RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio. If you're interested in scale models, join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern for interviews and the latest news and events in RC Scale. The RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio.
Now showing on AeroCinema.com.
Deep in the mountainous regions of southern Germany, there lies a secret. Behind armed guards and solid walls, aviation genius Willy Messerschmitt has a team toiling away at something deadly, something the world has never seen before. The Messerschmitt name is already synonymous with the most feared aircraft of the war. Whether propeller or jet-powered, they are a driving force for the Luftwaffe. Now, with enemy forces closing in, the mystery must be hidden before it is too late. Plans divvied up, designs buried deep. No one can know what is behind the doors of the secret factory.
Hi, I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And we're two of the crew members from Warbird Rescue. Call in Thursday nights at 8 Eastern to join the lively discussion of Warbird restoration. Find out how we can put you in touch with a Warbird project in your area. And be sure to visit us online at warbirdrescue.com.
That's warbirdrescue.com.
And we'll talk to you Thursdays at 8 right here on Warbird Radio.
Hi, this is Big Mike from Bama Boys Bodyguards and Security. If you've got trouble, we know how to make it run. Bam! That's right, we put the bam back in Bama. Let's say your girlfriend's ex-French husband keeps talking smack to her and makes her sad.
I hate you. I want you to die.
Well, that's just nasty. But don't worry, we speak French too.
I do not wish to fight you, you silly redneck.
Oh, well, that's too bad. Bam! Or, let's say when your mama's leaving Waffle House, some thug steals a car. Don't worry, car thieves run when they hear us coming. At Big Mike's Bama Boys Bodyguards and Security, no problem's too big or too small. We handle it all. Y'all call today.
Big Mike's now also offers pressure washing in certain areas. Call for details.
Bam!
We've got your six. This is Warbird Radio. Tune in.
Take off.
Well, howdy, 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 ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Wix Warbird Weekly live here on Warbird Radio. It is February 16th. And for those of you who have not caught up yet, it is only 2 days after Valentine's Day. So, well, hey, you know, if you haven't gotten your wife anything yet, I bet she would love to have some you know, leftover candy or maybe a piece of Warbird from some place. You know, go out to the hangar, find some Marvel Mystery Oil and maybe give that to her as a gift. Or, hey, you know, maybe get her a nice pressure wash down at the Waffle House or something like that. Anyway. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, we are here with you live if you're listening to us on the 16th. It's been a little while. We had some technical difficulties last week. Basically, Zane and I forgot how to use computers. And of course, joining me like he is just about every week, well, actually, joining you guys like he is every week, I not so much sometimes, Zane Adams from Wix Warbird, or with the Wix Warbird Forum Online. Zane, y'all there?
Oh yeah, we're here.
All right.
Oh my goodness, Matt's ads, ad sales gets better and better, don't they?
They do. I could really use the security service because, you know, I've got a couple of stalkers that I got to watch out for. So
yeah, I could use the pressure washing.
I wonder if I can pay him in grits. That's the only question I have. So
sure, why not? You know, he's in Virginia. They do grits in Virginia. So.
Exactly. Anyways,
I'm glad we're here. Last week, you're right. My computer, I failed my computer, or it failed me, or something. So it was the last second. I had problems. So sorry about that, folks. But we're here now. So
we are, and of course, we're taking your calls. The phone number to call here at the studio. Give us a call 478-787-4768. Again, 478 877-477-4768. It wouldn't count if I didn't say it twice. Anyways, this was a fantastic weekend for those of you who absolutely love naval aviation. We had the first major event of the Centennial of Naval Aviation happening at NAS North Island in San Diego, California. Large amount of flybys that were going on through the entire day of almost every single piece of machinery that the Navy and the Marine Corps are flying these days. Some in the colors that they're wearing today, or some in the commemorative colors, which are unique enough to see. Some World War II warbirds, some Vietnam era warbirds came down for it. So it was definitely a big event. And if you talk to just about everybody on the ground, it was a big traffic jam too. So,
well, I mean, that's what happens when you hold a big fancy air show on an island in Southern California. It's bound to be clogged up. I mean, you know.
Exactly. If you've ever driven anywhere around Southern California, no matter what time of day it is, it's always clogged up anyway. So, the only place it seems to ever be, free and clear is usually the area around Chino. And I think it's because of the smell from the dairy farms that just kind of wafts over that way. People don't want to drive, take that quick little route over to Riverside that way. But anyhow, we would love to hear from any of you who maybe attended the festivities down in San Diego and maybe knew of or have a brother, sister, cousin, son, uncle, friend that may have flown or may have gone down there for the event. We'd like to hear a little bit more about it. There's obviously been a lot posted on the forum and on a lot of the internet forums across the board about a couple of the surprises that people saw coming down there. Most notably, a certain four-engine heavy bomber from my neck of the woods, and a certain two-engine medium bomber from the Stockton, California area. So
the old Ty Ramey had his PV-2 out there, and that's the same one that we talked about here, not too long ago. It was a former fire bomber and was, neglected out there on a grass strip for a long time. And I know Ty posted some stuff on Wix, the video of that airplane, of them taking off and, ferrying it out of there. And they've stripped the paint off of it and threw a quick Stars and Bars on it, but it's coming along quite nicely. And they flew it to the show. It was cool to see some photographs of it flying around as well. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, and that PB-4Y out there, that's a rare, about as rare as you can get for warbirds nowadays, or flying ones anyway. So it was great to see that it showed up out there. You know, I've heard that the Marines in their helicopters pretty much stole the show out there.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen some amazing photographs of the big H-53s and the big formations of those, and the V-22s and the CH-46s, and I mean just an amazing amount of stuff they put in the air out there. And I know all of us air show folks are kicking ourselves for not going to that one for sure.
It kind of snuck up on me. I mean, obviously, it was one of these things that lots of people were talking about, but I didn't realize how close it was. But of course, I was in Savannah, Georgia last week, so I went from I was celebrating the 100th anniversary of naval aviation while sitting out at the Mighty 8th Air Force Museum in Savannah. So it was a little bit of a flip around, but I've got my priorities. So.
So what did you see at the 8th Air Force Museum that you something got your fancy over there, didn't it?
Well, yeah, I will say this, for those of you who make the trip to Hilton Head Island, Savannah, Georgia, driving along the I-95, heck, you're going to Florida, make the trip. Stop at the Mighty 8th Air Force Museum, because I personally think that it is probably one of the top interpretive museums that really tells the story of the crew members and of the makeup of the 8th Air Force, how it was created, what it was like to be a crew member on board B-17s, B-24s, or the fighter escorts. They do a fantastic job there. It was really – I was expecting a lot less, because quite frankly, you hear a lot about big air museums like the National Air and Space Museum and, of course, the National Museum of the Air Force in Dayton. But I wasn't expecting this. And for being such a small museum, it really packs quite a wallop, I would say. Just the exhibit quality was just fantastic. It took me literally 3 hours just to walk through and read everything that they had in there, and really it was done by a very, 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 very well done curatorial staff. So I give them the highest regards in terms of that. But my personal little glory was being able to see the B-17 that for many, many years was in storage at the National Air and Space Museum's Dulles Annex Complex before they built the Udvar-Hazy Center. And the aircraft had literally been sitting in there with the Space Shuttle Enterprise as its hangar mate, and then through deals with the National Air and Space Museum and the U.S. Air Force Museum, the Mighty 8th Air Force Museum was given this aircraft more or less to be a star of its display, and they trucked it down 2 years ago, and very, very carefully put it through the very cramped space inside, reassembled it inside, and have been working on it ever since. And for an all-volunteer crew, working, you know, pretty much only a couple of days a week, I was really impressed with how much they've done on the airplane so far. They literally have brought the inside back to wartime production condition. They've got radios that are working that are going to be going inside the cockpit. They just installed the instrument panel, and the instrument panel literally looks like it was taken from 1943. It has all the old instruments in it in the right spots, no modern radios. Everything just looks beautiful, but the electrical system, the junction box that's behind the pilot's seat on the bulkhead between the bomb bay and the cockpit area, they had just reinstalled that with all of its original phenolic backing and all of the little fuses all through the entire thing, and everything was labeled. It was just absolutely gorgeous, and I my hat's off. I took a lot of pictures, and hopefully I'll be able to put those on the forum over the next couple of days. But just a fantastic restoration, and a really committed group of guys down there that are working on it. Some B-17 experts are definitely helping out with the project. Noted B-17 expert who I'm not sure if he would want to be named on the air or not, from the Houston, Texas area, who's worked on several B-17 restorations, is helping on this one. And it was good to hear that some of our friends from American Aero Services down in Florida have also been helping and lending a hand, getting some things worked out in the airplane too. So it was a really, really great experience. So
well, that's great news, man. They've that's only been down there a couple of years now. Mm-hmm. Or maybe 2 years this month, I think, right?
And yeah,
or last month. And man, that they've done a lot of work on that airplane to, if it's up and running like it is, you know. Somebody told me they had a waste gunner simulator or something there as well. Is that in the airplane, or
That's outside the airplane? But that's one of the great things about the museum is that it literally has, you know, a lot. It has a full mission experience, and I didn't get a chance to do that because that's a little bit more of a, you know, an intensive kind of, they walk you through it, and it's like a, you know, 30-minute thing. And they had a bunch of ROTC students that were going down, so they had quite a wait for that. But they start you out in the briefing room that looks like an old Quonset hut from the era, do the mission briefing with you and walk you through it and such, and it's you know, a lot of people have really, really high regards for it. I mean, they literally covered everything from the mission experience to also the experience of POWs. They have this old creaky house that I guess built from the donated items from a house in Germany that was brought over to the United States, and so you got a chance to see where, you know, Allied air crews may have hidden out during their time trying to escape evasion or evade capture during that time. So it was it was really well done, I thought. And then they just added a brand new exhibit on the Women's Air Service Pilots, the WASPs. Very, very well done. Saw a couple of my friends actually that were being highlighted in that. So it was really a really very very well done museum. So I, again, I give them a lot of kudos for keeping it the way it is, and the fact that they're expanding it, constantly expanding it. That's the one thing I do say I do like about it is that they're not really stopping at one point. So
no, that's great news. It sounds like that quite a museum going, and it's one of those things is that the museum has not been on my radar at all. It's one of those little places out there that's really, that I really hadn't even thought about. And check it out on their website, mightyeighth.org. It's a tremendous amount of stuff there. I'm glad you got to go. That sounds like fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And another great thing was, is as I was driving around the airport trying to find the museum, had an F-18 fly right over top of my head because lo and behold, I was driving at the right at the smack dab end of the runway, and an F-18 was doing short approaches and literally did a carrier style approach right over top of my head, and I almost did the Tom Cruise woohoo. I think I did, but unfortunately
I've done that before. It's okay.
I was in a rented soccer mom van, so it wouldn't be as cool, unfortunately.
Oh yeah.
So again, it's about 14 minutes after the hour here. You're listening to Wix Warbird Weekly Live on the 16th of February. If you want to give us a call here, we're always looking for calls. The lines are open. Phone number 478-787-4768. Again, 478-787-4768. We know you're out there listening. Call in. Let us know. If you went to the air show out in San Diego, give us a call. If you saw any other interesting warbird happenings across the country, heck, if you visited a museum yourself, or if you've got some updates on current restorations, maintenance, that kind of thing that's being done during these cold months, give us a call, 478-787-4768. Speaking of Navy airplanes, though, we were talking about Navy earlier on. I will say that if you want some entertainment, folks, you might want to go to what I would call the Doctor Who confusion thread on Wix this week. it's a story of did it actually tip over itself, or did somebody push it over? It's like the big conspiracy.
Or was Angelina Jolie did it? Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Basically, what we're talking about is the F-8F Bearcat that one of the several that are operating with the Rod Lewis collection down in San Antonio, Texas. There were some initial photos placed of the particular F-8F up on its nose, and looks like bent forward props, and there was a little bit of, oh, that was just staged for a Hollywood movie that's being shot down there. And then others were saying, no, here's the NTS, or here's the initial FAA report of a incident that happened, and backwards and forwards we go, and my goodness, it's taken up two whole threads now that we've got going on. And I will say that gave me a bit of a headache reading all of that.
Yeah, it took a turn for the bizarre within the first page when somebody started griping about San Antonio, which is a fine town, please.
Fine town. I love Riverwalk.
You kidding Riverwalk's, me?
Riverwalk's great because you forget the second half of Riverwalk. You know, by the time you get to the other half of it, you're like, uh-huh. Wow.
Yeah.
Anyways,
it's hard to find a better margarita than
that's true. So we don't want to bash that too much, but we've got a caller holding here, so let's take them while they're still hot and ready here. Welcome to Wix Warbird Weekly Live. Caller, who is this?
This is Captain Rich Dan. Do you hear me?
Yes, Captain Dan. How are you doing, sir?
Hey, good.
I saw your Facebook posting earlier about the CONA, and it sounds like you were there on the ground and got a chance to see it yourself.
Yes, I was on the Stennis when the aerial review took place. But I did get out the static displays on Friday and Saturday to check them out. It was an event of the ages. That not everything went perfect, but it went really well. So
that,
really pleased with that. I think the enthusiasts out there really got a kick out of the retros and all the static displays. We had 19 of the retros out there. Four or five did not show due to maintenance and a couple other items, but couldn't ask for a better day and a better venue and just a great, great weekend.
Wow. Well, what do you think for your sake? I mean, you have a certain, you know, everybody has their favorites and such. What was your personal highlight of the entire show? What was the real surprise for you?
I don't know if there are any surprises, but you know, the just everybody, the city came out and enjoyed the day. You get a lot of bad feedback, by the way. As far as the radio goes.
Mm-hmm. Right, well, I kind of lost you there for a second. It sounds like you might be on a cell phone. You might want to say that last part again there.
I'm just, what surprised me is, you know, we knew we were going to get a lot of people, but I was just really surprised and happy at the amount of interest that there was in the whole thing. You know, we think we had about 70,000 people on base. We had probably another 100,000 to 130,000 on the waterfront in various places around San Diego. So it's really was an event to behold.
Oh, I can imagine that's got to be, you know, probably one of the largest events that the base has seen in recent years. I know they have some pretty significant events down there, and I know they've had Red Bull on the waterfront too. So that's certainly, you know, sounds like that's got to be a record-breaking event pretty much for everybody's sake.
In the recent past, I would agree with that.
That's great. Did you get a chance to see any aircraft that you know that you were particularly looking for that you really you know you were you know kind of you know waiting to get a chance to see or see in the air at that point?
Well, the ones that I really wanted to see, all the retros, but the ones that I didn't know for sure would come is the P3 that's in the gray with a white top. The China Lake F-18 with the orange tails and orange wingtips, and the McWhorter airplane, which is the blue VFC-12 aircraft that we actually had the McWhorter family out to see. And, oh, by the way, as part of what I had to do during the week, I was escorting the daughter of the first naval aviator. This is, we call her Gordy Ellison. I was getting to escort, like, well, a naval aviation royalty around, so that was great.
Wow.
So she's 89.
Now, she must have had some great stories to talk about with in respect to her father and her family and such. Anything specifically stand out of your mind there?
No, the family was blown away by our hospitality, and we just showed them a great time, and you know, took them down the waterfront to watch the Triad taxi and ultimately take to the air for a few feet. So I think they loved it.
That's fantastic. Well, I will say that you probably were the luckiest guy out there, pretty much when you get a chance to you know, really escort around and talk to somebody who has that kind of history behind them. That's fantastic. I really appreciate you calling in on that, Zane. You got anything to?
No worries.
Well, since you were involved, and I don't know if you know this, I know there's several what they're considering tier one events for the. Centennial, you know, schedule around the country. I know there's the next air show is going to be in at NAS Meridian, and
correct. I'll be at that show and the Keesler show.
All right, and are they going to try to bring these retro airplanes to most of these shows around the country, so other people in the country, because there's, you know, all summer long there's going to be and all through till November there's going to be, you know, these tier one air shows that the Navy's putting on, and I was wondering if that was part of the deal as they're trying to get these retro painted airplanes, you know, out to most of these, or how do they work it out? Do you know?
We may not be able to get the staggering amount like we did this time to every show, but sure. The people are loader out there. The squadrons and units that own the aircraft know that people are interested in them. The decals are already coming out, as you probably have seen, for model kits. So there's intense interest in these airplanes. So there'll be bigger events where the airplanes will concentrate in higher amounts, but you know, everybody's aware of them, everybody's going to ask for them. And it's really going to be based on the squadron or the wing's ability to keep the airplane flying and make sure the phase maintenance is in sync with whatever's going on around the country. So I'm not going to offer to say yes or no. We're going to get as many.
Oh, well, yeah, I understand.
Show,
I understand operational, you know, stuff comes first, and you know we understand that. You know, most of us here in the you know, been around air shows long enough understand all that. But you know, I just they've got a pretty ambitious schedule listed on the Naval Aviation 100.org website that the Navy's got up, and you know I'm looking forward here in another couple of months where I've got a show here in Fort Worth, and I'm looking forward to seeing some of those guys, you know, and I know they're going to be in New Orleans and New York and Philadelphia and you know Detroit, I mean Memphis, all over the country. So you know,
right.
Get out and support your Navy folks, because these are going to be some fun shows, I think. So.
Yeah, and the other thing is down in the Southwest region and the South Central region of the United States is. That's where the preponderance of the training command fields are, so I think you'll see a lot of the training command airplanes at Meridian and Corpus Christi and Pensacola. I would look to say that Pensacola might draw a lot of airplanes there in the May symposium week. You might get a bigger concentration than other places, just because it's kind of a premier event every
sure.
year.
Wow.
We'll see.
Yeah. Looking forward to them.
Well, I will say that I've got to commend you guys on such a wonderful start, and really I've got to commend you personally on the amount of work that you've placed into this entire effort, and the fact that you know, coordinating the paint jobs and coordinating everything together, you know, it really is the buzz of 2011, I think, and I think you'll find that when it all closes, I think it'll probably be one of the best remembered years in aviation in recent times. I got to commend you, sir, on that amount of effort. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much. We got a great team doing a lot of hard work and pushing rocks uphill in some cases. In other ways, things just start falling magically into place. But everybody's doing a great job. So.
Wow. Well, we truly appreciate your calling in tonight. I know that you're a very busy man, and you've got a lot of plates or things on your plate these days. But really appreciate your time tonight and giving us a call, and hope that you can join us again halfway through the year and let us know.
One quick question for you.
Sure, please.
I'm sitting in China Lake right now, and I've got a bunch of folks who would eventually like to come on your show. How would that work? Would that be possible? They're very enthusiastic about the cool base up here.
Absolutely. Just have them drop us a line at wix@warbirdradio.com, or you can, you know, jump on us at Facebook. We're on Facebook, or even just post a, you know, a quick PM message on Wix, and we'd be glad to get them on board. I can send you my contact information. We'd love to have them on board.
Okay, I'll get him in touch with you, Matt. Is this Matt?
Yeah, this is Ryan, but I'll, you know, Matt.
Oh, it's Ryan. Ryan Coe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, Matt would probably love to have them on.
Captain Dan, let me jump in here. I'm producing tonight, slightly asleep, but not for lack of content. Let me, if they'd like to get on the show, just have them call me directly. I think you have my number, so...
Yep, that's what I wanted to know.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, have him give me a call.
Okay.
Thanks for calling in tonight, Captain Dan.
All right, I'll talk to you guys
Thank
later.
You, sir. Take care, sir.
Thanks.
You guys bring out the big fish. I see how this works, Ryan. That's, man.
We cast the bait, and we're there.
Yep. Captain Dan calls in.
I credit Zane with everything, though.
Oh, no, it's better to be lucky than good sometimes.
I'm going
right?
to go back to my back to the work I'm doing in here. Carry on.
All right.
Well, I think we're going to take a quick break here, and hopefully by the time we get back, we'll have some more callers on the line here. Again, 478-787-4768 is the number to call if you want to get on board with us and talk warbirds tonight and talk celebration of naval aviation. And I'm also curious, here's my little casting bait. Was there an N3N in the parade of planes at San Diego?
Ian, what's the N stand for, you think?
I would think it would be naval. But,
actually,
I would
Ryan.
Think so.
Ryan, actually, I have a correction to make. I don't believe they can go that far. But I heard there was a steerman that made it out there. So,
Oh my goodness! Well,
zing.
If that is the case, then there should be a caller from Vermont telling us, no, not so. There was an N3N that was flying somewhere south of the border. That, you know, I don't know.
But yeah, that's that other two-wing trainer they made back then, right?
Exactly. You mean the Waco? No.
Yeah, yeah, the one that was far less superior than the steerman. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I'm with you. Okay.
Yeah. So, there you go.
All right, folks. We'll be back with you here in a few minutes. Thank you for listening to Wix Warp Weekly Live. We'll be right back with you for some more calls and some more discussion.
This is Word Radio.
Hi, this is Mike Chilson, host of the RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio. If you're interested in scale models, join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern for interviews and the latest news and events in RC Scale. The RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio.
Now showing on AeroCinema.com.
Deep in the mountainous regions of southern Germany, there lies a secret. Behind armed guards and solid walls, aviation genius Willy Messerschmitt has a team toiling away on something deadly, something the world has never seen before. The Messerschmitt name is already synonymous with the most feared aircraft of the war. Whether propeller or jet-powered, they are a driving force for the Luftwaffe. Now, with enemy forces closing in, the mystery must be hidden before it is too late. Plans divvied up, designs buried deep. No one can know what is behind the doors of the secret factory.
Hi, I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And we're two of the crew members from Warbird Rescue. Call in Thursday nights at 8 Eastern to join the lively discussion of Warbird restoration. Find out how we can put you in touch with a Warbird project in your area. And be sure to visit us online at warbirdrescue.com.
That's warbirdrescue.com.
And we'll talk to you Thursdays at 8 right here on Warbird Radio.
Hi, this is Big Mike from Bama Boys Bodyguards and Security. If you've got trouble, we know how to make it run. Bam! That's right, we put the bam back in Bama. Let's say your girlfriend's ex-French husband keeps talking smack to her and makes her sad.
I hate you. I want you to die.
Ooh. Well, that's just nasty. But don't worry, we speak French too.
I do not wish to fight you, you silly redneck.
Oh, well, that's too bad. Bam! Or, let's say when your mama's leaving Waffle House, some thug steals a car. Don't worry, car thieves run when they hear us coming. At Big Mike's Bama Boys Bodyguards and Security, no problem's too big or too small. We handle it all. Y'all call today.
Big Mike's now also offers pressure washing in certain areas. Call for details.
Bam!
We've got your six. This is Warbird Radio. Tune in.
Take off.
Bam! We're back with the Wix Warbird Weekly Live here on Warbird Radio. It is the 16th of February, and we are back with you live. We were off on hiatus last week. We apologize, folks. We just, you know, we forgot how to use our computers. So, anyways, we're back with you here, and you know, thanks to the fine folks here at Warbird Radio, we learned how to get them back again. So we're doing well here, and we're talking tonight the Centennial of Naval Aviation that happened over this weekend, the first of the major events that happened at NAS North Island out in San Diego. So always interested in hearing your comments in regards to that. If you came out to the air show, if you were there, we'd love to hear what your thoughts were, what your highlights and that kind of thing were. Also, would love to hear about any restorations that you got. anything that's been going and stretching out over the long winter months. Any progress that you've made, that kind of thing, to keep the airplanes going and see where you're where your status is right now, and see if you're going to make that that May deadline for your first air show or whenever your first air show is. But
the pressure's on, that's for sure. But
that is true. That is true. And as
a couple of things, there's my beloved B-17 Chucky left the Military Aviation Museum in Virginia and went down to American Aero Services in Florida. I believe they flew down there Monday and Monday or Tuesday, but made the trip just fine. Chucky's going to go through some further restoration stuff down there, some long-term projects that's been around a long time. I think they're going to be done. Looks like she's going to get a chin turret and maybe a ball turret, on there. So, you know, that's a little work being done, and she should be back in time for their air show in May.
Yeah.
And then here local, the Cold War Air Museum over at Lancaster Airport. If you guys around the country don't know about these folks, they have the only civilian Mi-24 Hind helicopter flying, and they've also got, I believe, three of the Mi-22 or Mi-2 hoplites, which is a small sort of a Huey-sized helicopter. And it's up and flying, and but they need some help out there. They've got a MiG-21 and a MiG-23, and that they need some help on. If you're a MiG mechanic, they'd love to hear from you. But if you've got some mechanic skills, an AMP skills or something like that, they were really needing some help, and they also need some volunteers to come out and get involved with that museum. It's an up-and-coming deal out there here in Lancaster, Texas, just south of Dallas. So, and pretty exciting stuff. This Cold War Air Museum is, you know, it's all based on, they've got a bunch of Soviet equipment, and they need some help out there. So if you're local in this area or can offer some expertise, they'd love to have you out there. So.
Now, my question is, do translation services come with volunteering out there and such?
I don't know. It might. You know, they've got this Ukrainian MiG-23 they're getting up and running, and it's basically in flying condition. They've just got to, I think they've got to get the seats fixed and some electrical things going, repaired, and it'll be ready to fly and go to air shows that can afford the gas, I guess. But
yeah. Well, in the great Republic of Texas, there are a lot of kerosene burners that probably could give it a run for its money if it really wanted to. If they wanted to go up and mix it up a little bit further, and that population was increased by one this past week. So, we finally got word. If you listened to the show 2 weeks ago, we alluded to this this statement that there was a certain organization that acquired an F-100F Super Sabre, affectionately known as the Hun, from a private gentleman who had the aircraft for sale down in El Paso, Texas. Well, proud to say now, it is public that the Collings Foundation will be operating the F-100F as part of their Vietnam Memorial flight. It will be operating out of Ellington, Texas. They're going to be hopefully getting up and running with the aircraft and getting pilots certified on the aircraft, get a program together for the aircraft. Right now, it was flown on a ferry permit from El Paso, Texas to Midland, Texas, where it's being repainted in Misty Fac colors. That was a great, great bit of news that we heard. So hopefully we'll and of course, you know, Warbird Radio had him on last week. So, but if you only listen to this show, we just want to make sure and keep you on board. So,
there you go.
All right, we got a caller holding here, Zane.
Okay.
Welcome to Wix Warbird Weekly Live. Who's this calling this evening?
Hey guys, David from Warbird Heritage Foundation. How are you?
Hey David, how are you doing?
Good. Trying to stay warm.
Well, that's kind of hard to do up where you're from.
It was 78 degrees here today, just to let you know, Dave. So summer's on the way.
Rub it in, Zane.
Well, you've got plenty of kerosene living around there, and you could probably just, fire up one of those things and keep it at low power if you really wanted to, and heat up the hangar pretty quickly if you really wanted to do that. But I'm sure that might take away a couple of OSHA codes if you did something like that.
We thought about using it for snow removal when we had the 5-foot drifts in front of the hangar doors.
That would be great. I tell you, that would have been a great video if you had done that.
I'll never put it on video.
We deny everything.
Deny. Yep, YouTube can be a dangerous thing.
That is true. That is very, very true. So what is going on in the hangar for the Warbird Heritage Foundation? I've seen some photos coming out. It looks like you got some airplanes disassembled and taken apart, which means that you've got to have your head in there someplace.
Yeah, we're pretty busy. F-86 is a part. I've been keeping that updated on our Facebook site. Need to put a little more on Wix, but I have been kind of busy. It's so much easier, it seems like, to put pictures on Facebook than to put them on PhotoBucket. We started the L-39 this week. That's going to be our first year of doing that in-house, and we're pretty amazed at the construction of that airplane. And it seems, you know, ease of maintenance. We were a little fearful when we first pulled it in, but now, having opened it up, we're kind of, wow, we're impressed. So that ought to be interesting. And then the A4 has been giving us grief, oh gosh, for at least 2 months now. So we're still fighting some wiring gremlins with that airplane. And we knew there'd be some teething problems bringing it back up to airworthy. And it's given us a run for the money being an AC-powered airplane. So I'm a DC-powered guy working on Falcons all day long, and then go to an AC airplane and I have to think backwards.
Oh boy!
That's good for your brain.
Yeah, that's true. It's like a big brain puzzle. You know, you have to do it occasionally. But so you basically, I mean, from what I'm getting off of this is that you're saying that, you know, what many people thought for the longest time, you know, the Soviet bloc, the Iron Curtain aircraft, which were, you know, the MiG-21s, the MiG-15s, the 17s, they were always atrocious to work on because of, you know, they were built like tanks and stuff like that. You're saying now the L-39 seems to be maybe a little bit more of a less of a maintenance hog than maybe some of your aircraft, your U.S. aircraft possibly?
Oh, absolutely. We were pleasantly surprised. I mean, the access panels, they're there. You can get to everything. Short of having a little bit of specialized equipment and metric wrenches, we've kind of had this fear factor for the last couple weeks building up to it actually going into inspection. And once we got into it, it's like, wow, you know, the fear has kind of subsided and there's a big learning curve to the airplane. But like anything, it's an airplane, a little different than some of the system, you know, manuals. And I don't think it's going to be that bad. So we're going to post some pictures and try and do some details of what it takes for us for the first time of learning an L-39. There's, you know, plenty of experts out there, so if we get ourselves in a bind, the resources are there to call and help us out. But you're absolutely right. We're pleasantly surprised. The construction of the airplane, being a trainer-type airplane, they hit it right on the head. You know, perfect for flying, training, and maintenance training.
Now, that you brought up a good point that, you know, talking to other people and stuff, I mean, the L-39 has probably been one of the most prolific jet warbirds that we've seen on the circuit in recent years, probably since the late 1990s. Have there been, you know, certain experts in the industry that have come out that have produced, you know, manuals or, you know, at least some documentation that goes beyond the, you know, Ukrainian books or the Russian books that you may have gotten with the aircraft that help you out in terms of keeping the aircraft in flying condition?
Yeah, there's good resources actually on the books. I picked up a set of manuals just a couple of weeks ago from an operator that was selling some of his stuff out of Florida. Some of it's in Russian. The IPCs are Russian, but the other manuals are English. And again, there's resources. You've got other L-39, the L-39 enthusiast website. Of course, we've got Pride Aircraft right in Rockford. Great group of guys there. International Jets. I mean, so there's the different groups of L-39 support. And that's important. That does make this airplane supportable.
Well, go ahead.
Well, you just say how easy they are to maintain, and that's what the guys down here at the Cold War Museum, you know, in Lancaster, they've got an L-39, and I've talked to them, and they, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, these airplanes were built, you know, not to the necessarily to the standards of U.S. military aircraft, and so they're a little, they seem to be a little simpler and a little more robust in places, and you know, that sounds like part of what you're finding out there, and it's you know, it's a tribute to the designers over there, you know, and it's a, I guess it's a little backwards tribute to our airmen and things that, you know, are, we're a little more technically advanced, seem to be, in the United States on our military aircraft, but you know, there's something to be said for simplicity sometimes, I guess, right?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, you know, that KISS statement, keep it simple, they hit it. They hit it right on the head. I mean, we've got the F-86 on one half of the hangar and the L-39 on the other, and granted, 50s technology to our 79 model L-39, you know, astronomical difference, but you can just see how airplane engineering and construction and maintenance grew in that short period of 25, 30 years. It's fascinating. And then we feel like we take a step backwards. No knock to the A4 guys out there, but the A4 is a tough airplane to maintain. Even in regards to the F-86, the A4 is difficult. It's a very high maintenance airplane, and we're learning that. We're definitely learning that curve. And hats off to L-39 designers. You know, it's my first chance of looking at it and seeing it, and it's incredible. It really is.
You know, it's kind of funny now that I think about this. You know, I hear this a lot of times, and we certainly see it, you know, at the on the corporate aviation ramp that I, you know, work with at times too, is that it seems like the aircraft that are the hardest to maintain are traditionally the aircraft that would have been on boats, that would have been carrier-based airplanes. We always heard, you know, the nightmares and the horror stories of the carrier-borne F-4s and the F-14s, and even today's FA-18s too, are, you know, real, you know, difficult in some cases to maintain right. I mean, obviously they have a really, really high level of resources to do that and such, but it seems like the Air Force aircraft, or the aircraft that were ground-based, tended to have a little bit less of a, you know, maintenance issue and stuff. I mean, do you find that when you're working with like the A4 product, that maybe that was because of the fact that it had to endure such a beating on the carrier ramp and you know, landing and taking off at you know, very, very odd speeds and such? Did they just over-engineer it because they were afraid that the airplane would fall apart, you know, after multiple you know, landings and takeoffs?
Well, I have to say, from the experience, that yeah, you know, they're definitely heavy built, and seeing the, you know, the angle of attack that the A4 comes in for landing, and then seeing what we have experienced with our tires. I mean, you're absolutely right. It comes in such a high angle of attack, and you know, you plant that airplane on the runway, and you know, it shows in the fact that we've lost an AC generator. We've lost other components, and you want to say in the back of your mind that there is some, you know, relation to shock. There has to be, besides just the age. You know, take the heavy shock of landing, and then take the age of some of the components, and it's an old airplane, and you're absolutely right. I mean, it's set up for, you know, difficulty to maintain, difficult to find parts. Being a B model, it's tough. It's tough to find parts, and then when you do, you're not going to get them tomorrow. You know, some of the lead times are 3 to 4 weeks, you know, lead time, and we're trying to think ahead and plan for the naval celebration, and frankly, it's going to be a tough schedule. We try not to put the stress on ourselves. We'd like to have the airplane out there for everybody to see, and it's going to be a challenging year, there's no doubt.
Well, I hope I wish the best for you guys, and certainly, you know, I hope that the parts gods look down upon you favorably in terms of that, because I know that's a constant struggle of trying to find something, especially when you aren't expecting a certain component to go down and it does, and then it's like scramble, trying to find something to make a necessary replacement, or at least a temporary fix with it and such, and you want to keep it as safely as possible. So I certainly hope that that everything works out. But I will say this too, is that you do a heck of a job. I mean, you're maintaining a pretty sizable fleet of aircraft up there, and it seems like you add a little bit more each year, and you know, keeping them in the air all pretty much at the same time through the warm weather months certainly has got to be a challenge. And I give you a lot of credit for that, David. So I know us on the Warbird community side, the enthusiast side, really appreciate your hard work and the hard work of the entire team up there.
Well, you know what? It's really, like you said, it's the whole community, and we've got a good team of mechanics. You've got a good team of Warbird networks. You know, there's people that I've called that I know them, but I've never talked to them, never, you know, formally introduced myself. And it's amazing, you know, once you make that phone call, the camaraderie and the willingness to help, and it's the same on our end. And we try and pass it on to anybody that calls us and help if we can.
I think that puts it right on the head. I mean, it's a nail right on the head. Is that the only way that we can keep ourselves flying and keep Warbirds going is really not being off in our little own worlds and not being a you know, a recluse when it comes right down to it, but to make this truly a community and to share our experiences, share our trials and tribulations. I mean, I think that says it all right there. So I encourage everybody to, you know, everybody that's listening out there, to remember that, you know, the next time that you're talking with a Warbird owner or a mechanic or somebody like that, if you've got some nugget of information or somebody that they should talk to, you know, volunteer that information, because it'll only help. It only helps keep us going on that. So,
oh, yeah. Hey, Dave, I got one question. How's the P-51 coming along?
I was wondering if you guys were going to ask or if I was going to have to bring it up.
I was waiting for Zane to do it.
I wasn't going to let it go, so yeah.
I wondered. You know, it's going quite well. I put the pictures out. We made the announcement. It had been quietly under restoration since we got it, oh gosh, December of 08. And like anything else, you send parts out. They're scattered in California and different parts of the country. And finally, all the pieces are in one place, so it's gotten really exciting. I talked with Sam, earlier this week. The gear doors are on. There's more components going on. I'm still waiting to put the engine in, but I think that there's going to be a Merlin coming to life probably mid-March to the end of March, and Sam, if he's listening, might shoot me and go, yeah, right, but we're excited. I think that the plan is once we get the flight time flown off of it, that we're going to take it right away and go right into paint. Put, you know, winter months, might as well keep it down and get it, the paintwork touched up, the wings painted to match the rest of the airplane, and then bring it home. And then I think that I'd like to try and have some event. There's enough interest. It was certainly amazing to see just how quickly the Facebook count went up. As soon as you announce you've got a P-51 Mustang. So I think it has something to do with polished airplanes or something, and people just get glued and they're mesmerized. So,
You got your British Standard toolbox up and ready to go, though, right? Yeah.
No.
I think there's gonna be a lot of talking between you and Rich, I think, in the near future. So,
I think so. Okay. Rich and I have an email and back and forth here and there, and Rich was quite helpful actually when we got the airplane. So, since it was, you know, in the hangar and Jim Beasley's airplanes were there. So, again, another great group of guys, and this is going to be fun.
Now, are you going to put it back in its in the original paint that it flew for many years under with Baby Duck, or is it going to be a different scheme at this point?
We're going to leave it as Baby Duck. We really like the scheme. You know, we like to honor Captain Kolb. I'm trying my hardest, and Jack Cook was trying to help. We're actually looking for any of the Kolb family members that might be around or available. I know Doc Skonia, he tried to look for him. There's been a lot of research, and we're trying to pick up, you know, internet. So anything that we can try and do, we'd really like to bring any of the surviving family members to the foundation when Baby Duck comes home.
That would be great. I mean, that's certainly, and for my sake, I mean, I saw that airplane many, many years ago up at Geneseo, so it'll be great to see it back up in the air again. So from a little part of my heart, I appreciate that too. So Certainly post that information on Facebook. We'll spread it around. And any, you know, any videos or anything like that that you want to, you know, post up on Warbird Radio, we're always looking for content. So, you know, please send it along. You know, just you know, maybe some status updates on it that we can add up there, and maybe just get the buzz going on it. So,
you bet. We'd be glad to, guys. Just let me know what you need, and we'll get the word out and share it. That's what it's all about. And you know, it was kind of interesting when we put it out there and the excitement. And like I say, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to watch this airplane take to the sky again since 1996, and just the sound and the smiles on people's faces as they hear it take off.
Ah, that'd be great.
Oh yeah,
that'll be great. No one hates a P-51. I can tell you that much. So. Well, David, I appreciate you giving us a call again tonight and filling us in on all the great stuff that's happening up in your cold neck of the woods. And it certainly is it's not really cold. It's heating up for you guys. Let's just say that much. So I appreciate the continued support here and giving us the update. And when you said, you know, just name what you want, send us anything you can. If you can't find the time to post anything up on Photo Bucket, just send it over to Zane or myself, and we'd be glad to, you know, pop it up there for you, just so we can get some stuff on the forums to help you out on that. So,
oh yeah,
we'll do, guys. And I'm gonna send a special delivery to Zane. Compliments of dry ice. How about some snow, Zane?
Okay, I'll take it. Well, it took us 2 weeks to melt what we had here, so you know.
You Texans, you don't know how to do anything right. So.
That's right. See?
That's that'll right. Teach you for that 76 degree comment. Keep it up.
Yeah.
Hey. Oh, goodness. Well, thank you much, David. And, you have yourself a great night this evening.
Take care, guys.
Stay right. Warm. Take care. And ladies and gentlemen, that was David Staffeld from the Warbird Heritage Foundation up in oh, goodness. I just had one of those problems.
Waukegan, Illinois.
Waukegan, Illinois. Yes, I know exactly what it was. I was like, ran the tip of my tongue. I'm like, oh goodness, shucks.
they're doing some beautiful work up there, man. It's exciting that airplane's going to stay in the baby duck colors. That's cool.
I'm really excited about that. I mean, and the fact that they've got so much. They've got so much in the hangar. It's just it really is amazing to me that just a core group of guys can keep it going. I mean, but they're doing great stuff. And I mean, it's not just, see, this is the thing. It's not just jets, and it's not just radials with the Skyraider. It's Merlins now. I mean, you run the gamut up there, and you know, I think they're becoming one of the top. I would say the top 10. Organizations that's keeping them alive these days, I would call them. So
yeah, sure.
We're proud to have them on our board, and proud to have them as an active part of us. So we thank them very much for keeping us apprised and keeping us very, very much apprised of the progress of their organization and all their aircraft, and look forward to, you know, hearing more from them in the future. So.
Yep. Oh yeah.
But well, we've only got a couple minutes left here, so we're. Pretty much kind of rounding out the show, but anything that you got going on this coming week, Zane, that you're looking forward to that you might be doing Warbird wise or
no, nothing particular this week. I'm just trying to make it, you know, make it week to week and make it to be here. You know, I've got a lot of work to do, and it's a little, you know, it's still winter time here in Texas, even though, you know, that 78 degree temperature will be gone shortly, you know, but I don't know. I plan on doing some flight simulator flying and, you know, some goofing off. But other than that, I don't have anything ready to go right now. But we're looking forward to the springtime.
Well, you know, I'll try to fill the gap a little bit. We're going to try to make – my wife and I are going to try to make it down to the Pima Air Museum this coming weekend and take some photos and such and give her the chance to see her first Warbird Museum. So I'll certainly –
oh, yeah. There you go.
Post how that will all turn out and give her the maybe she'll become hooked very, very quickly, so we'll see how it goes. But
there's always hope.
that is true. Well, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to us this evening. Again, I want to thank Warbird Radio for hosting us here every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern time, and welcome you to join us again next week. We'll be right back at it as always, and who knows, we might have a couple of special guests, and hope that you'll give us a call during that time as well, and talk a little bit of Warbirds with us. So until then, calling from Ryan here in Phoenix, Arizona, and Zane in the middle of
Fort Worth, Texas. Yeah.
Fort Worth, Texas. We'll talk to you next week, folks. Have a great night.
I wouldn't listen to my people, my friends, and nobody else. I wouldn't listen to my people, my friends.